All right, I invite you to take your Bibles with me, if you would. In our particular setting, there's a couple things that we seek to offer you during our time in God's Word. First of all, is the Bible, because that's inspired. And then there's an insert that's not inspired. It's just helpful. It's based on the inspired Word of God, hopefully, but it's not inspired. So if you're going to choose one over the other, we'd have you choose your Bible first. But if you have a Bible, that would be great. I'm looking forward to sharing with you this morning. This morning is going to be what we call, Rex and I call, standalone messages, because we've ended a series and an opportunity to do that. And I will say that Rex was very willing to continue to speak on stress, because we all continue to have that. And I said to him, listen, thank you for covering for me, but I love being kind of at this place here sharing God's Word with you. So 3 weeks for me would be, I would start twitching. I just had to, no matter what. He was ready to go if the plane didn't make it back in time, but I was really wanting to share with you, especially since this morning, I want to share with you a message on a topic that I've never, ever spoken on in all my years of pastoral ministry. Never, ever. So that could either be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know, all right? But I want to share you with this with you, and I want to start this way. We are technically and finally full swing into summer around here. Finally, right? June was like a defrost. And then we kicked it into full summer. And so I want to start by having you think about something. And if you have your insert, I'd have you write some things down, because I'm not going to ask you to say them out loud. But I want you to think about this question. What are your favorite smells of summer? And just kind of write some ideas down in your insert. What are your favorite smells of summer? I'm not going to call on you, so don't worry if he sees me writing it down, he's going to call on me. I'm not. I won't do that. But I want to get your mind thinking about this topic. So what are your favorite smells of summer? And write them down. All right, well, some of you maybe wrote something related to like a lake or ocean breeze that you would smell, or for some of you, the summer flowers, that fragrance is kind of your favorite. I have three of my favorite summer smells, and since I'm up here, I'm allowed to share them with you. Sorry, you can do them afterwards with people if you feel kind of not, you know, able to share like you want. First of all, I love the smell of freshly cut grass. And sometimes I'll turn around and just drive back by the yard again or the field, and they think I'm kind of, what's he doing? Okay, I love that. I also love the smell of a campfire in the summertime. Oh, it's like, wow. And then I love the summer smell of a good barbecue. And I'm just going to help you out here, be honest with you. It's usually my neighbor. Because my hot dogs just don't have the same smell as his steak. But those three things, those are just like my favorite smells of summer. And as I was thinking about this message and thinking about, and even before this, thinking about the smells of summer, it really brought me to be thinking in a different way about this idea of this smell. Because in the Scriptures, it's interesting to me that God in the Scriptures, both for himself and for us, does allude to all our five senses: seeing, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. He does it for himself and for us. He kind of appeals and gives examples of all of our senses. And as I was thinking about this, another question came to my mind that, again, I've never asked or answered in a sermon ever. And here's the question. What smells good to God? How many of you have ever heard a sermon titled, What Smells Good to God? Aren't you glad you came today? All right? So thank you for coming today. We want to look at this question, what smells good to God? Now, initially, there should be a follow-up question. There was in my mind, because just because I think of a question doesn't mean it's a good one. I'm just being honest with you. When I'm studying, sometimes I think about questions. I go, is this even a good question? Is it even a biblical concept to ask this question? And I say absolutely yes, because in the Old Testament, right from the beginning, the concept of God smelling is mentioned over and over and over again as it relates to his people, the people of Israel, and how they worshiped him. It's in the Bible. And there are examples of times when certain things didn't smell good to God, but we want to focus in on the things that were a pleasing aroma to God. And I just want to give you some examples. You don't need to turn to these. I'm going to have you turn to some other passages. But Genesis chapter 8. And verse 21, the context here is just after Noah and his family leave the ark. They've been rescued. The animals go off the ark. And so Noah feels like it's a good time to offer a sacrifice to God for finally bringing them out of the ark. The waters have receded. And Genesis 8:21, it says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. So in this passage, we see that a sacrifice was a what? A pleasing aroma to God. He smelled it, and it was pleasing to him. Follow me so far? And then in Exodus chapter 29, the context is this. The priests are going to be consecrated. Aaron and his sons are going to be consecrated. So they've gotten all the items related to the sacrifice ready, and they've given them to Aaron and his sons. They've given them all the articles of the sacrifice. And it says in verse 25, then take them, the articles of the sacrifice, from their hands, from Aaron and his sons' hands, and burn them on the altar along with the burnt offering for what? A pleasing aroma to the Lord, a food offering presented to the Lord. So another example of a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. And then one final one, Numbers chapter 15. God gives Moses instructions of what they're supposed to do with sacrifices when they go into the promised land. And it says, and you present to the Lord food offerings from the herd or the flock, an aroma pleasing to the Lord, whether burnt offerings or sacrifice for special vows or freewill offerings or festival offerings. So over and over again in the Old Testament, we see this example of sacrifices that were pleasing to God, that literally, folks, literally smelled good to God. Now, we think back to our initial question, what smells good to God? Well, if you spend any amount of time in the Old Testament, there's a lot of sacrificing going on. A lot of sacrificing. So the question is, since we just finished up the series on the Ten Commandments, does the concept of God smelling and the sacrifice carry over into the New Testament? And does it carry over to us as a church and as individual believers? Well, yes and no. I am very thankful, and I think a lot of you are thankful, we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. You thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. So if that's true, but we still are bound, or we're still called to do things that smell good to God, the question is, what's in the New Testament that it is equivalent or another example or examples of what actually smells good to God? And I didn't know. So I decided I'm going to do some research and preach a message on what smells good to God. And I discovered in the New Testament several things that are identified as smelling good to God. And I want to spend a little bit of time on that. And I want you to be encouraged. Some of these things you're already doing. I want you to keep doing them. Some of them were maybe not doing them enough. Some of them were not equating them to being pleasing to God and smelling good to God. And I'm just getting off a missions trip with 12 people on our team. There was also another team that had 17 people. So there was 29 of us in the house sharing with staff people. It was 90 to 95 degrees, high humidity, no AC, a few fans running. I think aroma was something people cared about. I really do. I was in one room with the three other guys from our team, and we were kidding with each other that no insect would be able to survive or would want to come into our room. It really wasn't that bad. But, you know, so we care about these kind of things. And we care about these things day to day, unless maybe you're a middle schooler. And those things are a little bit of a struggle when you kind of deodorant, those kind of things. I've discovered that in youth ministry. I don't know what it is from, you know, 6th to 8th grade. Deodorant is like taboo. I don't know why. Even showering. I digress. Okay. So, but the idea is we care about those kind of things. We really do. But yet, do we really give thought to what can we offer to God that smells good to Him? As strange as that may sound, it is so biblical. So I want to take you to some examples of things that smell good to God. So this is why I'd like you to take your Bibles with me. The first passage is in Hebrews chapter 13, page 845. And I want to challenge you to think about this, because I think you would have been in the same situation as me, even those of you who have studied your Bible a long time. I think if I've come up to you in the past few weeks and said, listen, can you give me a verse about something that smells good to God? Some of you may have been able to take me to the Old Testament. And I'll say, no. Take me to the New Testament and tell me a verse that about something that smells good to God. I think you may have struggled, just like I did. But they're there. Hebrews chapter 13, page 845 in your pew Bible. Here's what it says. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess His name. So sacrifice of praise, obviously, is offering to God that is pleasing to Him. Before we move on to this, let me just make a note here that the first two words are really important in this verse. Through Jesus. This is an Old Testament reference, because the people of Israel could not offer any sacrifice to God except through the high priest. And praise God that through Jesus, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to a temple, you don't have to go to a special location, you don't have to go to a church, but every single day through Christ, you can offer a sacrifice of praise. You can do that. Every single day. And it can be pleasing to God. And it's interesting to me that we often think, I'm not qualified to do this. We're not. We go through Jesus. We go through Jesus, who has qualified us to do this. So here's the first way that we can, or first things that we can do that will smell good to God. Praise and worship. Praise and worship smell good to God. And for those of you who don't sing that well, it's not about the hearing. It's about the smelling. Because God doesn't say, oh, that was a C, and we're singing it in D. No. If you lift the name of God and Jesus Christ in praise and worship, it smells good to God. Psalm 92 and verse 1 says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. A chorus from many years ago, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever. Do you understand? I'm not trying to be facetious or just even making it too simplistic. I want to be biblical here, but let's just lay it right down here. We're in the middle of summer. When you offer praise and worship to God, you're cooking up something that He loves to smell. It's what it says here. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, a fruit of lips that openly profess His name. I also want you to see, if you have your Bibles open, it won't be on the screen, but in that verse, two really important words. The words continually and openly. That means you can cook up praise and worship every single day of the week. There's no way that we can continually offer up praise and worship as a sacrifice to God if we only do it on Sunday and fulfill continually. Would continually be more than one day a week? I think so. And then it says to do it openly. You mean at work? If something good happens in my life, I should say out loud every once in a while that God is good? Yes, because if you use the luck word, I have ways to find out. So if something good happens to you at work, don't be like, oh man, that was a lucky day for me. No, it wasn't. You just say out loud, God, thank you for the blessing. They may not appreciate it, but you know what you're doing? You're offering up something that smells good to God continually. And it says, doesn't it say openly in that verse? Openly. Openly. So when you come into church where you're with people who really are receptive to this, we need to be openly praising and worshiping God. To me, there is a little bit of a difference between praise and worship. It's just my distinction. Praise to me is more those verbal statements about God, and worship would be related more to music, but they're kind of interrelated to each other. Real quickly, you don't have to raise your hand. Tell me something about God this morning, folks. Just say it. Who is God? I knew all at the same time it was going to be a problem. So I heard Almighty. What else? God is good. God is love. Provider. Giving. Forgiving. All these things and so many more. And is it okay to say that? Even outside of church? Yes. And you are a worshiping church. I tell people that over and over and over again. And sometimes some of you get an opportunity to visit other places and maybe you realize that not everybody sings unto the Lord or brings a sacrifice of praise. You're not sure what the sacrifice is they're bringing, but it's not praise. And you do that to your commendation. And it's not because everybody has to take a music test to get in our church. But you offer that. So do that. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you biblical permission to cook up some praise to God on Monday in your car. Your presets can be for Jesus if you want them to. On your radio. You can offer up Christian music in your house all week long. Really? Yes. The sacrifice of praise and worship. You'll probably hear about this next week, but one of the things that we experienced on our trip is that we had what was called roof time. Roof time was a time every night where our team met together and talked about the events of the day, but we spent an amount of time worshiping together. And often it was on the roof, third floor of the house we were in, and just singing at the top of our lungs. You know what? The grill was a-cooking. And not everybody sang to the same ability level, but they certainly sang to the same worship level. And there was a teenager on our trip who said to us at the end of the week, before this, I would have never gotten up in front of anybody and worshiped with a group. I just wouldn't have been able to do that. But boy, now, whoa, I just can't wait. Taught her how to cook. Praise and worship is a smell that God loves. Look at this quote by Tozier. Go ahead. Any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That is a song we know we will be singing in heaven. We don't know the other ones. I know you have some of your favorites. But worthy is the Lamb. Now, the very next verse in Hebrews chapter 13 gives us our second thing we can do that smells good to God. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. Why? For with such sacrifice, God is pleased. When it says God is pleased, that means it's a sweet-smelling aroma. Here we go. Here's the second thing we can do. Serving others. Serving others is just not about serving people or serving in the church, even though that's good. But it smells good to God. You're like, Pastor, are you making this stuff up? No, it's right there. Because sometimes we need motivation. Because I'm just here to tell you, sometimes serving is hard. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes some of your kids are naughty in the places where people are serving. And they're struggling with it. Or it's not always glamorous. Or the preacher goes too long. And all these things. Or I got to take time out of my schedule. I got to do this. Serving's not always easy. But I'm telling you, when we serve and give that offering to God, it smells good to Him. It says, do good and share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Let me give you some examples of what serving looks like. We serve through caring. It's not going to be on the screen, but if you write down the word, you want to write down the word caring. We serve others through caring, and that smells good to God. It says, do good and share with others. When you care for each other, I want this to be so practical. When you send that email of encouragement to somebody, when you send that card to them, when you tell them you're praying for them, you're not only blessing them, but what you're doing, at that moment you're doing something that smells good to God. Because the scripture talks about a lot of other things we're not supposed to be doing that God's not pleased with. Don't backbite. Don't gossip about each other. Don't, you know, good be all of you. But when you care about each other, all these things smell good to God. Another thing is you serve others through sharing. When we share with each other, when we're generous with each other, when we exhibit hospitality and just openness and willingness to help, these things all smell good to God. They do. They do. And then we also serve, I know this is going to sound really simple, but I think it's true. We serve through caring, we serve through sharing, and then we also serve through serving. We serve through serving. And we could say it, but we really need to do it. Serve in areas of need, behind the scenes, maybe you're up front and doing things. I want to challenge you, serve in areas where there's a need, but serve in areas where you will be stretched as well. Now, we're not always saying that you that do something that it's totally awkward to you, but some of you need to show up and cook something up for God from August 5th through 9th every night. Pastor Jay, if I kick a soccer ball, I'm going to hurt myself. Well, just stand there and cheer on the kid who's kicking the soccer ball, or maybe first aid or photography. We need lots of people who are willing to say, I want to do something that smells good to God in the middle of August. Listen, part of what we did this past week is there was a basketball camp that was offered. And for some reason, two of the guys on our team, including myself and one other guy, we offered to help out with the basketball camp because we weren't sure if they'd have enough people. So first day, went over to the basketball camp. And I'm okay with basketball. My knees are not okay with basketball. But I didn't think I was going to have to really do anything other than, yay, go. But no, hey, get right into the drills. Cement court with a thin layer of dust. So, you know, first thing is you got to run as fast as you can towards some guy holding the ball, get into the defensive position, and shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. No problem. It's not going to be fast, but I can do what he said. So, you know, 40 people, 40 guys watching, because you go one at a time across the whole length of the court. There I go. Get into defensive position, shuffle, shuffle, crash! I just completely wipe out. I'm trying to look down and see if anybody tripped. There was no one near me. You know how you look like, oh, well, there's a piece of something there. No, I just completely crashed and burned, got up. They didn't clap, they didn't cheer, they didn't sneer, but I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, thank you for the early humble lesson here. But you know what? I think it broke the ice a little bit. They knew I wasn't really there to impress them in any way, shape, or form. I was there to serve. But I could have said, you know what? No. Do we need your help? We do. So serving others is a way, something that smells good to God. Here's a quote by Alistair Begg. It is impossible to serve God without serving one another. Pleasing to God. Smells good. Let's keep going here. We got to keep moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's turn there if you would. 804, 2 Corinthians 2. Something else that smells good to God. Praise and worship smells good to God. Serving others smells good to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Very interesting passage. I'm sure I read it before, but I didn't really read it. You ever have that happen? You read it before, you didn't really read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Listen to these verses. The Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession." Think about those words. Wait a second. I'm being led around as a captive? That doesn't sound theologically right. You see that picture there? Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Two powerful pictures from the Roman culture that talk about things that we can do or something we can do that is pleasing to God, that smells good to God. In the Roman culture, when the army went away to do battle with the enemies, when they won, they would bring the captives back in tow in front of and parade them through the city to bring fear and intimidation to the other nations, but also to be like, hey, these are the captives. But it was meant to really kind of send fear through people that this is the Roman, powerful Roman culture. You think, well, how does that fit with us? Well, thankfully, the Bible says that while we were enemies, Christ reconciled us to God. So when it says that God has put us in Christ's processional, that means when we're marched before people, we're marched as people who have been rescued from enemies to friends. And so now the message is not fear and intimidation. The message is grace and mercy and salvation. What a processional that is. And then the second thing is it talks about that there would be a pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. Also, what would happen is as they came in on this parade, they would put fresh flowers in the path of the parade, and the horses would stomp on them as they would go, and it would break open the flowers, and there would be this aroma that would go through the streets. So we are led as the friends of God through Christ. And because of that, because of the grace that has touched our lives, there's this pleasing aroma that permeates the processional before other people and before God. So here's what brings a sweet smell to God when we share our faith. Sharing our faith. It's here, folks. When we share our faith, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. To who? Among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. That means when we spread the aroma of Christ's love for us and to other people, this is a sweet smell to God. Wow! I really wish I would have seen this a long time ago. Let's stop being so intimidated and fearful of outreach. Outreach, sharing my faith, is an offering to God. I really never thought of that before. When I take the time to share God's grace in my life to other people, especially those who don't know Him yet, it is a sweet smell to God. He doesn't want to smell fear. He wants to smell the aroma of what Christ has done in our life, and we offer it up to Him. I'm sure you've never heard this before. Outreach smells good to God. Sharing your faith smells good to God. I don't know how sweaty the campers are going to get, but soccer camp has the ability to smell good to God. As you interact with maybe some families or some kids who need to smell, you know what need to smell? The aroma of Christ, and then it makes its way up to God. Wow. What an opportunity. Pastor Matt Chandler puts it this way, this quote. The single most loving act we can do is to share the good news of Jesus Christ that God saves sinners. And when we do that, when we offer that, it smells good to God. You with me? Two more. Philippians chapter 4. We're in the home stretch here. Philippians chapter 4, if you turn there with me, 820, I believe. Philippians chapter 4. Praise and worship smells good to God. Serving others smells good to God. Sharing our faith smells good to God because we're the aroma of Christ to other people. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. This is good stuff. Pastors love this stuff. We're so glad it's in the Bible. Paul says this, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. He had a need. People collected money, sent the money to him. Epaphroditus brought it, met a need. Sorry, folks. Here it is. You know what smells good to God? Giving. Oh, I guess I should have said that before the offering. I don't know. It goes way beyond God loves a cheerful giver. When you give to God, whether it's in a formal church setting or other ways, guess what? You're cooking up something that smells good to God. Now, I'm not telling you to share that with people who don't know God because they'll think you're absolutely crazy. I mean, they'll just think you're like way off. I mean, they may already think that. But if you're interacting with a coworker and maybe they ask you, do you give money to your church? And you say, yes. They may think that's a little bit off. But if you follow that up with, it's because it smells good to God. Don't do that. They need a little bit more context. But isn't it true? Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Can you go back to that verse for me, Charlie? Thank you. The gifts. What are they? What are the gifts? They're a fragrant offering to who? To God. So when I give, it smells good to God. There's a phrase that when we kind of think our money has been wasted, it's money up, it's gone up in smoke. Heard that phrase before? It's kind of wasted. Or listen, when you give, to the causes of God, it's never money up in smoke, never wasted. The smoke is a pleasing offering to God. Billy Graham said this. Go ahead, Charlie. Sorry, I'm getting a couple slides here. If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Why should you give? Lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is it smells good. It smells good to give. I know you've never heard that. Now there's one more example. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. 789, if you'd like to look in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, again, the Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God." There's that phrase again, pleasing to God, is absolutely a reference to sacrifices, to an aroma. "So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Final thing we can do that smells good to God is daily surrender. Daily surrender smells good to God. So instead of getting up each day and saying, "God, I want you to bless my day," it's getting up and saying, "God, I need to spend a little bit of time on the altar of daily surrender, and then I'm going to start my day." Because there's a picture here that's hard for us to grasp, but thankfully it's this way. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice that went on the altar never got off. But through Jesus Christ, we are to die to self, but live for him. So we become a living sacrifice. "I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in and through me." And what that means, it's a daily surrender. And the offering of our bodies is not a physical bodily looks thing, but it's about our behavior. And it's taking that time. It won't hurt any of you, it won't hurt me at all, if each and every day we start our day by saying, "God, I have my list." Because I'm a list person. I am. "God, I have my list. But even in the midst of my list, help me to offer up my life according to your agenda." And when you say that and you try to fulfill that, it smells good to God. It's a living sacrifice, pleasing to him. So the question we started with was this: what smells good to God? Well, I believe that praise and worship smells good to God. Serving smells good to God. The idea of giving smells good to God. And these other things, daily surrender, all these things, they smell good to God. Sharing our faith smells good to God. And I know that summer will eventually fade around here. Sorry. But the good news is you can offer these sacrifices, these things that smell good to God, every single day, 365 days a year, no matter what the weather is outside, no matter what your season of life is, you're called to do this. So I'm going to end with a question that, again, I don't think you've ever heard at the end of a sermon. What have you been cooking up for God lately? What have you been cooking up for God lately? Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. God, you are worthy of our praise, of our worship, all these things. And it's a challenge, God, because we get so busy. We get other things involved in our lives. And they're not necessarily bad things. But I do pray that this morning would have been a good reminder of the things that we could be doing that actually smell good to you, that acknowledge who you are and how we can worship you. So I pray that some of these things would find their way into our lives, especially areas that we need to work on or incorporate, so that we live lives on a daily basis that present a pleasing aroma to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.